Great seeing you. You can be seated. We're just going to pray about a couple things real quickly and then say just a couple announcements. Then I will introduce your speaker for tonight and get out of the way. And I'll be careful not to say what I did last week. And you all remember what I said last week. And if you were here last week, I think you know it was said after I left too. And I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to say that. If you weren't here, then you'll just have to ask what was said and then you'll know. All right. And it's probably more true than we would like to admit. We'll just put it that way. All right. Well, let's pray. And we're going to pray tonight. We met, Pastor mentioned, on Sunday, Joe Arthur is having some vocal cord surgery, but then for Diane Presley, as she is still up in the hospital, last I knew, and so we'll pray for her tonight, and then also pray for Lois Hauser, also in the medical center as well. And so we'll pray for them, and I pray the Lord will bless the night, and we're excited about you all being able to be in here and everybody else around the property as well. So we'll pray for all of these things, and just pray that you'd have a wonderful time meeting together in here this evening. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given us today. Thank you for the opportunity that these ladies have to come apart from everyone else and just be strengthened and encouraged, Lord, by fellowship together and, Lord, by the instruction that they'll get. We thank you for the life that will speak to them tonight. And, Lord, we pray that you would bless the time. And, Lord, we pray for these that we've mentioned tonight. We do pray for Diane Presley, as she continues to just seek some help there in the hospital. Lord, I pray you touch her bodily and raise her up, give her strength, and the Lord give the doctors wisdom as to what they need to do to help her the best way. And also for Lois Hauser, as she is also there, and Lord, I pray that you would strengthen her, encourage them both, Lord, we pray. And then for Joe Arthur, our revival speaker from last year, and just needing a touch from you through this surgery, Lord, I pray that you would help that to be successful and his recovery to be quick and him be able to get back into the ministry you've called him to. And Lord, I pray you'd be with him during the time that he is recuperating through this. We pray you'd bless tonight. Lord, I pray that you would give us a special night, but Lord, that we would give ourselves to you through it. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, just a couple things real quick, and then we'll turn it over. But I want to remind you ladies that tomorrow the ladies' Bible studies are happening. So this is the week of the Bible studies. So if you come to the one in the morning or at night, I want you just to remember that so you don't let it slip by you. And then you obviously would miss it then. And so you want to, if you have any questions, if you've not been to one yet, this would be the perfect place to turn around to one of the other ladies and say, hey, have you been to that Bible study? And if they say no, you should say, let's go together. Let's go find somebody who has gone. And we'll get you the information you need. It's a wonderful time. I know I get to be in around when the ladies are coming in the morning, and it just seems to be a great spirit, and just the fellowship that's able to happen around that. It's just a great time. And so want you to know that that is happening. And then also, don't forget, this Sunday is Baptism Sunday. So if you are looking into that, I want to encourage you to not forget that it's coming, and also Family Growth Night. So we'll once again on Family Growth Night, maybe it'll make a little bit more sense in here than when I say it from the pulpit. Ladies, you'll start over there, and then you'll make your way down here after the early part of the service, and that way we'll get kind of keeps it in step with the way that Wednesday night has been. Thought that'd make the most sense, and so but that's happening, and so that's this coming Sunday night. But you'll start down there, you'll make your way down here, and if you have any questions about that, you can ask any one of us, and we'd be glad to answer your questions regarding it. All right, well, I'm excited to be able to get out of here so that you can hear from Miss Debbie. Well, I'm excited for a lot of reasons, but mostly so you can hear from Miss Debbie, and obviously all of you know her so well, but Debbie, we have prayed often for you, and we're so thankful that God is what he's done in your life, and that you're able to just give some to these ladies tonight. And we just want you to know that we love you, and we're thankful that God has given you this opportunity, and I know that they are, and they're looking forward to hearing you. So I'm gonna get out of your way, and I'll let you take it from here. Okay, all right.
Any of his jokes. Well, I'll just start. That's all I know to do. There's a lot of you here tonight, so but you're my friends, and I love you all. So I'd like to begin by saying what a blessing Mrs. Abbott was last week, and I'm sure you all feel the same. We were encouraged greatly in the wisdom she gave from God's Word, to be serving the Lord with a happy heart. She certainly is an example of that, I know. I'm grateful for her being so real to us, especially when she said how nervous she was, which most definitely I relate to tonight. But nevertheless, as she said, when God opens the door, we needn't hide behind it. And for whatever reason he has, like her, I want to follow him in going through this door and count it an opportunity, as Daniel mentioned, to tell you about his presence in my life. My way of speaking to you is definitely not skilled as a speaker, and knowing this, when I was asked to do this, I have been apprehensive. But not wanting to hide behind the door, I knew I would at least have to write what I believe the Lord wanted me to say and bring it to you in a sense of a story that I knew I would need to read. So I will do my best to make eye contact with you. And as I go, when you find me not doing that, my heart's desire would be that you would be thinking about your own life and all God has done to equip you in your service and his plan for you. I've titled what I believe the Lord has given me to say tonight, Great Things He Hath Done. I'm not someone, as I said, who finds it at all easy to talk in front of a group, but in all the Lord has done for me, I do have a testimony. I believe God has allowed me to be more of a writer than a speaker, so please, again, bear with me as I read the thoughts I have written. God has been faithful, and he has been good in all things, always. What I would like for you to think about as we go along is your own life, no matter your age, and no matter how long you've been a Christian. From our very beginning, God has had us in his mind and in his heart as individuals, and may we be reminded of his faithfulness in the great things that he hath done to equip us to fulfill his plan and his will for each of our lives out to others. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." This verse is preceded by encouraging us to pray for one another, beginning our prayer with great reverence for the Lord. God, in his great wisdom in this, knows that by our friendship and our sharing our burdens with one another, there would be a strengthening of our faith to see and know how God is working in the lives of us all. This can be a part of what we have learned, seen, and know about all God has done and who he has been for each of us to be equipped to pass on and share with others. From our beginning of life, God was seeking us. That in itself is a blessing to behold, showing his great love and desire for us to become his child. The verse we have heard often, Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That includes all mankind. And then there is our sweet John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." As most of us, if not all of us, have accepted these truths in our lives, it is up to us now to pass this message of our great salvation on to others, as we all know so well. Pastor Herdman has titled these evenings in March, Equipped Wednesdays. Definitely, there is a world out there that does not even know the basics of belief in the gospel, in the Word of God. Ever so much more, as we see the day approaching, is this a time we should all realize our responsibility to be equipped to share our faith and be ready to answer for the priorities that we have established in our lives as Christians to encourage others to know him and to experience the blessings of God for themselves and a future in him. In thinking along these lines, I was taught, as many of you have been, that after accepting the Lord, as a Christian, there's a structure based on God's Word that we can follow to help us keep our priorities in order. This is not new to most of you, I'm sure, but a reminder to all of us of the importance of it that will help us in our daily lives. Putting God first is our number one priority. Second would be our family, and third would be our church. It has been said the decline of the knowledge of the holy has brought on our troubles. So in our first priority, putting God first in our lives, which is time set aside for Him, to praise Him, worship Him, read His Word, pray, getting to know Him and His love for us will strengthen our foundation. Our personal relationship with God is what I'm talking about, is most important here. Then in knowing Him, may we realize our limited, finite minds and let faith support us where reason fails. And we shall think because we believe, not in order that we may believe. If you think about it, how many conversations have you had in witnessing for the Lord that you found yourself explaining facts more than faith? Now, of course, we need to share the fact of the gospel, for we know, as in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." There was a little object lesson we used years ago in junior church to teach the strength of our faith comes from God and His Word. We used the engine, the power of the train, to represent God's Word, the fact. This engine pulled the next car, which was our faith, which would more easily come if the Word of God was not denied or ignored, as it is by so many today. Our faith, powered by the fact, would then be more ready to pull our feelings, our emotions. This, in essence, was saying that if we get these out of order, we could be letting our feelings come before our faith or His Word. Not putting God's Word first, as in the power of the engine, especially, we would find ourselves resting on human reasoning, which has certainly been the downfall of mankind throughout time. There are some statistics from a study by the Pew Institute on demographic groups in the United States that answer to devastation of where putting God first and studying His Word has gone. For people saying they were Christian, only 67% believed in a literal hell, and only 82% believed in heaven. How thorough this study was, or inclusive, I can't say, but it does speak of a declining effort to know God and His Word among even Christians. The Bible teaches that God can be known as the Holy Spirit performs in the seeking heart. When finding yourself challenged in witnessing, as can often happen, we can remember it is not we who do the convincing. It is the Holy Spirit, and in some cases becomes necessary to say to those you are talking to offer to them, to seek the Lord with the thoughts that are on their heart, and He will not fail them. Much of our witness takes building over time, and time for the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts for sure. But we too need to be prepared, equipped as much as we can, to follow our responsibility noted in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. As we are equipping ourselves by putting God first, certainly this will help us to pass our faith on to others in our witness. Our knowledge of God is inexhaustible to our learning, and I recommend A.W. Tozier's The Knowledge of the Holy to help put Him first. A poem from that book reads, "Sovereign God, Heavenly King, Thee we now presume to sing. Glad Thine attributes confess, glorious all and numberless," by Charles Wesley. Family is our next focus for our priorities. We all are from a different family background and experience. In thinking of family, apply this priority in your own personal way and be thinking of your influence of faith there. Remember, God knows you as an individual, and His plan and will is unique to you in your life and is perfect for you. In His plan for you, He will give you all you need to carry that plan out in helping those He has brought into your life to reach for Him and pass on your faith. In the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, as he truly cared for and loved him, remembered and spoke of his faith. Reading 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. No doubt a mother and grandmother had been a great spiritual influence. This definitely speaks to us as ladies of the importance of passing our faith on to generations to follow us. Whenever you find yourselves in relationships, it may not be mother or grandmother. It could be cousin, aunt, or even another relative or close friend, our sphere of influence. As the Lord directs each of us, it would be His plan for us to be influencing in the faith we have in our God those He places in our lives. May we all strive, and it be our prayer to pass on that unfeigned faith that dwelled in Lois and Eunice. As a young girl, I can remember being at my great-grandmother's, seeing her study her Bible. I will never forget the preciousness in that, as it has grown on me over the years. She was a Sunday school teacher for a ladies' class named the Vine Bible Class at a Baptist church in our hometown, for as long as I can remember. She was not quite 5 feet tall, but had 12 children. She actually saved my mom's life, as she was born a premature baby in the 30s, that the doctor left the house saying she was not going to live. Mamaw took care of her, and the Lord had other plans, as my mom will be 90 years old this year. The Lord used my great-grandmother as an example of a lady of faith in action to speak to our whole family over the years and exampled the importance of living for and serving the Lord. You may not believe you're making a difference with anyone right now, but my memory of her comes to life more as I have gotten older. So what you are trying to do now in your unfeigned faith, God will use for His glory. Think about that remnant of faith in your own life and how someone has influenced you in the Lord, something we can all be thankful for that God does for us to lead us to Him. In that, we can realize the importance of continuing to pass on our faith to others for their strength in the Lord. No doubt, God has used people to help us come to Him with the Holy Spirit's leading all the way. Those of us who know the Lord all have our own personal experience of salvation, equipping ourselves with our testimony, ready as the Holy Spirit works in hearts of those that the Lord places in our paths, He can use to bring salvation, leading into a life walking with Him to people in our families we love so dearly and others we care about. We all have our own story to tell, unique to ourselves, and a great responsibility to pass on our faith to family and anyone in our sphere of influence. This may be repetitive to some of you who were at the ladies' event several years ago when I gave my testimony, but it's important to me to not leave this out at this point. Looking back, trying to remember anything that indicated how God was drawing me to Him, I remember as a little girl in grade school washing dishes for Mom one night, looking out the kitchen window, seeing the stars and thinking to myself that God made everything, and I knew I believed that. I'd been to Sunday school, five-day clubs, but as a family, we did not go to church on a regular basis. My dad, I know many of you remember, was not saved then, but I do remember he cared enough to see that I was in Sunday school many times as a young girl. As fast as life passes, I soon found myself a high school senior. I had met Steve, he was in the Navy at the time, and asked me to marry him. He had been saved at 13 in a revival in a nearby church. We had talked about our belief in God, and I knew enough to know I didn't want him to marry someone who was unsaved. I knew I had never went forward in church, made a profession of faith, joined the church, or been baptized. Terms that are still used by some folks today who still do not know the Lord as their Savior. So I went forward one Sunday morning, and as sad as it is, looking back, no one took the Word of God and explained God's plan of salvation to me then, or even asked me why I came forward. It was as if it was all assumed I knew all about what I was doing. I do believe the Holy Spirit was working in my heart, but I know now that I didn't understand then. A few weeks later, I was encouraged to be baptized, and so I was. A few months later, Steve and I were married, and we went to church occasionally there, but it wasn't a significant part of our life. Several years later, my mom's dad, my papaw, was invited to another church, Bible Baptist Church in West Virginia, by a neighbor who attended there. He was around 80 years old then. He got saved. None of us were attending church then. I never realized until several years later how unlikely it was for someone of that age to get saved. But God had a plan. My papaw visited us on Sunday afternoon, and I know he was burdened for us. He invited us to church and said how important it was for us to be going. That is a precious memory for me today. It wasn't long after this that he passed away, and the pastor and the other church members visited us. Our life was about to change in a wonderful way. I had never heard the truth of God's word with such clarity before as we started attending Bible Baptist Church. Our oldest son, Wesley, was 2.5 at the time. I was expecting Katie. And as we had all been attending regularly, I was asked to teach Vacation Bible School. Not knowing what I was doing, I said yes. As I found myself reading the lesson book, I came to the preparation part of how to lead a child to Christ. As I was reading this, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and I said yes to the Lord for my own need of salvation. Soon after this, a dear missionary friend of mine, Cindy, led me in a discipleship book. And coming to the lesson on baptism, I realized I needed to be baptized. Having been baptized years ago, I knew it needed to be done in the right order. This time, I was getting it right. So as a family, now we were in church 3 times a week, learning, growing in the Lord with 2 children, trying to live for the Lord the best we knew how. From family devotions, children's choir plays, church picnics, ladies' retreats, anything and everything happening at church, we made it priority in our lives as a family. Someone asked me one time, after my kids were grown, how did you do it? I said, do what? They said, raise 3 children who are all trying to do God's will today. I only knew to say, we didn't do it, God did it. All I know is we just went to church and kept going to church. Because of the place and at that time, we weren't able to go further in the conversation, but we both understood with one another, as she was a Christian too, there was more to it than that. To further this, we all know that our life in the Lord, as we experience his blessings to us along the way, doesn't come from just going to church, as good and right as that is. There is no doubt that obedience to his word brings personal growth and many blessings and is so important to our testimony, our witness. My oldest son, Wes, helped me with his thoughts to add this part into my writing as he said, Mom, it, as we know, was not just going to church. It was the life you and Dad tried to lead at home in front of us and outside the church that helped us as well. With all glory to God in this, that was a great encouragement to me in him saying that, because as we all know, no matter how hard we're trying, we're going to make mistakes. And the devil will do his best to always bring it back up to you. But as in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In this verse, as God has given the book of 1 John to Christians, he knew we were not going to be perfect here or make the right choices always. So as we are staying in prayer and his word, asking him to create in us a clean heart, we have also this direction to pray in asking his forgiveness and start each day anew with a greater determination to follow him. Then about my kids. They too, after having been raised in a Christian home as best as we knew how and tried, had to make right choices in the Lord themselves to have them where they are in the Lord today. Wesley and Laura, my oldest son, with their two girls, Anna 16, Malia 12, are serving the Lord at Temple Baptist Church in Knoxville. Many of you know Shannon and our daughter Katie. Noah, he's 13, and Bailey's 9, and they're serving here at Buffalo Ridge. Our son Levi and Brittany, Charles 5, Oliver 2, and Edward 6.5 months, are involved in church planning and pastoring a church in England. I'm praising the Lord for them all and the lives that they are leading. As we make choices for the Lord with his will as priority, the result is great things he hath done, for sure. He does bless us in ways we could have never imagined. To continue my story, as time went on, we were blessed with our third son, Levi, and all three of our children were saved under the ministry of that church we hold so dear in our hearts today, where my papa was saved, as well as myself. And then later on, the Lord used a children's play that Katie and Levi were a part of to bring my dad, who was in his 60s, to salvation. Years had passed, and Dad and Mom would come to programs the kids were in for several years. Our oldest son was a freshman in college the night that Dad got saved. Remember, he was 2.5 when we started going to church there, and we had prayed for Daddy all those years. The children's play was for Easter, and it was called Behold the Lamb. Dad and Mom had been out of town for the weekend, but Dad was determined to get back for this program. Mom even said, "Why are you driving so fast?" That night was one of the most joyful nights in the life of our family and church family, as they had visited and prayed as well for my dad. Mom had been saved as a young girl, and she got assurance of her salvation. They both began attending regularly. Never give up for those you have been praying for years. Great things he hath done. In 1999, we moved to Tennessee, and in 2000, Mom and Dad came down too. As the Lord led Steve with Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Certainly that happened as we came to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God has been faithful. He can be nothing less than perfect in all his leading. There is a story of encouragement in your own life. I am sure that you too can pass on to generations to come as well. To condense my testimony, even in the length that it was, does not even begin to speak of all the great things he hath done, but hopefully helps you to understand the importance of your own testimony God wants to use to influence others in your life for him. God will help us all in this. Remember, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, unique as an individual for a reason and a purpose in God's call on your life in your service to him. Moving along in our third priority in our Christian life is the importance of church. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." How important is church to us? Obviously, being here on Wednesday night gives that answer for you. But what about others and our influence of this verse on them? Our church is our place to worship and praise the Lord together, where we are encouraged by the faithfulness of fellow believers working together to further the cause of Christ in one accord. God planned for us to have this church to strengthen us through the lives of each other, a place where we can serve the Lord under the leadership of our pastor and define God's will for our service to Him. Within the church, there are many ways God can use each one of us as ladies. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Let us learn, serve, and grow in the Lord together and follow Hebrews 10:25, finding ways in which to pass on our faith, encouraging one another. Realize that as we come together in our like-mindedness of the things of the Lord, where we can, as in Colossians 3, 15 and 16, as it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We all have been given a different talent, a different gift from the Lord. That's a part of us being fearfully and wonderfully made. All for God's individual plan for each of us to equip generations behind us to follow the Lord. It's a privilege and a blessing to be a part of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm sure you all agree. A church with a rich history of having seen great things He hath done. Being a part of the family of God, may we all do our best to first know Him. Having accepted Jesus as our Savior, put God first. Second, influence our families. Pass on what we know to be truth in our faith, in our sphere of influence. Third, worship and serve the Lord in our church. A quote from Charles Spurgeon says, "Because God has already been our help, we can have confidence in Him for the present and the future." With that said, I would not do this evening's time justice if I did not talk about the present and the future. True, it is great things He hath done, but I believe God wants us to add and build upon this great foundation He has given us in the Lord. How better can this be done but to live each day knowing the goodness of God in our past and doing our best to continue our faith now and in the future? My life verse has been Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ." I gain strength every time I think about this verse because it reminds me that all I am is of God, not of myself, in my salvation, the faith He gives me to trust Him each day, and to endure all He has for me in His perfect plan for my life. May we all let this sink into our very heart and soul to help us to rely on Him. God knew we could do nothing of ourselves. Remember, He provided the Lamb. We need Him every day to know He is there, to help us to carry out these priorities in our Christian life, to glorify Him that others too may want to know Him. It is in His strength we can do anything. This is a great blessing to rest in, directed with Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." About the middle of January last year, I was reading in an older devotional book Levi and Brittany had sent me from England. It was called The Royal Bounty by Francis Ridley Havergal. I had read in it several times, but this time, as I was leafing through, a very old newspaper clipping came out that I had never seen before. It was a poem titled, "My Expectation is in Him." It came at a perfect time in my life, but that's the way the Lord is, isn't it? Giving us what we need, just when we need it. The poem reads, "My expectation is from Him, therefore I rest. He placed the pledge Himself within my breast, and step by step, confidingly, I follow where He leadeth me, through paths the best. My hope, like a bright glittering gem, a radiant star, is set within His diadem. and far through the thick darkness of the night, it lights the pathway up the height where angels are. Close by my side, although unseen, his voice I hear. The path is smooth, the sky serene, he's near. A flame by night, a cloud by day, the promise sweet, I am the way. Why should I fear? My expectation is from him, therefore I wait. He finds when pathways are shut in a gate, with neither iron bolts nor bars, with flowers neath or heard the stars. Ah, happy fate. By Eliza Lamb Martin. As many of you know, I was diagnosed with 4-stage ovarian cancer last year in January. I started a journal soon after that with the encouragement of my children. Of course, this is what they wanted from me. They've been used to either my long post-it notes or my journaling in text to them of great lengths all their lives. I copied the poem, My Expectation Is in Him, and put it on the first page of my book, and wrote below it, taken from the Royal Bounty, Let that which you know in God fill your storehouse of treasure. In that continual drawing from his good treasure does our strength come. As I read this poem many times, I was knowing God's presence from the truths in it about him for me at the beginning of this diagnosis. In my belief of the sovereignty of God and that his way is perfect, there was nothing or anyone better to place my expectation in but him. In my heart, I had the foundation of my salvation in the Lord and his perfect work on the cross and all his promises in his word. After hearing those words, malignant carcinoma of unknown origin, working through the next steps that needed to be taken with tests and choosing my doctor, the song, If Jesus Goes With Me, came to my mind and I sang, If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Now, to many of us, and I too, have always thought of this song related to missionaries going to the field. But it wouldn't leave my mind, and through its words, I was knowing God was reassuring me that he would be with me where I was going. It was giving me comfort, strength, and peace in the midst of the storm. And besides that, God had given it to me, so I knew it was for me. I have written the course in my journal as well, and he has been with me all the way. In saying this, it does not even begin to explain his presence I have known. In my need to pass on the faith God was giving to me at this point, my head no doubt was spinning, but I knew one thing. I didn't want my family to miss out on anything that God was doing in the grace he was extending to all of us. Having told our children these things with their blessing, it was time to tell our grandchildren. And that we did. We all needed their faithful prayers as well. And I didn't want them to miss out either in seeing all that God was going to do for us. Remember that faith in action I said my great-grandmother had? How she demonstrated? My grandchildren needed to see that too. There will be a time for all of us in our faith where we will need to put our faith to action. And with his help, we will be able to do this with an endurance that glorifies God. Being conformed into his image is certainly not without pain or great concern for what is happening in our lives. As I know, we all have something or will have that we must face that we would not have asked for. I have looked at this in that there is relief in knowing this is God's work in us to help us on our path to being more like him. He cares so much for us in our need for this to help us in it, so we must realize whatever he is allowing, it is done for us, not to us. We cannot sing, Oh, to be like thee, and not expect to go through trials where he can provide his faithfulness and the evidence of his grace that carries us through. There will be strength that comes that will even sometimes be known only between us and the Lord. But isn't that what a personal relationship is all about? Some things the Lord does for us are just for us, as He brings us peace in the midst of the storms. I do remember and want to share one of those times of great joy we experienced after my first surgery, getting into the car with Katie and Steve and singing, "To God be the glory." They were praising the Lord too, but for me to sing, now that was something else. Let's just say I'm not gifted in that area. I was on under anesthesia too, probably still. But we all praised the Lord that evening together for surgery He had brought me through and that there was hope even in treatments. I do want to praise the Lord for where He has brought me today. I am still in treatment now and just waiting to see how the Lord leads, but whatever it is, I know He will go with me. Many of you have prayed, and I know I have felt every prayer, sent cards of which I hold so dear, texted at times that have encouraged me at just the right time. I have written the verses you have given me as well in my journal. I treasure these with your heartfelt love in giving them. Thank you all for this encouragement. As the Lord gives us each other great things He hath done through you. I would not want to leave out the blessing my children have been in giving me each treatment I took, what Katie entitled encouragement to mom. Remember those kids I was asked about? Well, they multiplied when they married, and now I have six, whom the Lord did a marvelous work in adding to our family that were now giving me devotions, songs of praise, and scripture to help me in my faith. I have journaled all their encouragements as I sat each time receiving treatment. Again, great things He hath done. Remember that unfeigned faith we have need to pass on, our prayers for our children, grandchildren, and others. Giving them God's word is something God will bless and we will see results in someday, as it is promised in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Certainly, I'm not going to tell you I haven't had difficult times, but I do know I have never lost my joy or trust in the Lord throughout even the most difficult of days. The joy of the Lord and His presence has been my strength. My heart's desire has been as well to glorify His name. We will all go through trials in some sort as we return and continue our thoughts to passing our faith on to the next generations. And it will, most of the time, be in those valleys that our faith in God will speak the loudest. May we all in God's strength endure all things to be passed on for His glory, honor, and great purpose. His plan is perfect. A dear lady has quoted this verse several times to me in talking to her, and it becomes more precious the more I hear it. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Our hope and our future in our faithful God is in His hands. There is no other place I would want it to be. May we in our Christian lives, with His help, be equipped to pass on our faith as our expectation is in Him. So I have put a copy of that poem on the back table, and also I've had a list of verses that some of you may want that you can have that are prayers for your children, how to pray for your children. So with that said, I thank you all for listening, and I'm just praising the Lord for this opportunity tonight. Like I said, it's not what I do easily, but I did want to do it for the Lord since I was asked. You've got to go through that door, don't you, Miss Abbott? Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you, Lord, for our church family, for these dear ladies that we come in contact with every week, three times a week, most of the time, Lord. We praise your high and holy name for that fellowship, that encouraging word that we hear from one another, Lord, that you put in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life on the cross and shed his precious blood for our sins, that we can know what our expected end is, Lord, and it is in heaven someday. Lord, leave us now, Lord, being equipped, we pray. Help us, Lord, to be able to give that answer to anyone that needs to know it, Lord, that you put in our path, that we would answer them correctly and that we would answer them with love and with meekness and with fear, Lord, knowing that their very soul is at stake and needing to know you as their Savior. Lord, help us to be good witnesses for you. We thank you, Lord, for so many things that you've done for us. We thank you for leading us all the way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.